even what we prayed over him this morning, that the fear of the Lord is nothing more than knowing the word and following it, walking in obedience to your commands. Because, Father God, it's your commands, walking in that line that you've laid before us, that sets us free. But Father God, I thank you for this brother. I thank you for his heart that loves the word. I thank you for his willingness to serve you. And I ask, Lord God, as the anointing flows through him, that you would touch hearts, that you would pierce hearts, that you would remove scales, that your truth would go to a greater depth in each heart in this room this morning. Father, we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I think that God already has met us in the worship time, and he wants to continue to minister to us as we open our hearts up to him. The next 3 weeks, I'll be bringing messages from Nehemiah. And so in your devotional time this week, I'd just recommend that you would read through Nehemiah. Just experience Nehemiah in a fresh way. It's in the Old Testament. It's after a small book called Ezra. And so we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1 today. Just want to think in terms of what Nehemiah was faced with. And Nehemiah just decided that the only answer for him and his problem is the Lord. So he cried out to God. So we're going to look at how Nehemiah cried out to God this morning. Hudson Taylor, the missionary, said this. He said, "It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone." Nehemiah, his public life was the overflow of his personal life, which is shaped by a lifestyle of prayer. His devotion was to God. He was dependent on him for everything. He knew that before God could bless his work, he would need to listen to his voice as he experienced God's presence in prayer. This week, my wife received a phone call from a person who was in a very difficult situation the past week. And Lois mentioned to the person that you just need to cry out to God for help. And get in God's word and allow God to help you. And you know, I was just kind of minding my own business, and I heard the conversation. I thought, wow, that's what I'm talking about. And I asked her if I could just use that as an example, and she said yes. Some of you have seen the movie War Room by the Kendrick brothers. They made a number of movies, and War Room is on prayer. And back in April 28th, one of the brothers, Alex Kendrick, wrote a prayer for America, and I'd like to read it. Alex Kendrick's prayer for America. "Our Father in heaven, we come before you today, acknowledging you as our Creator. You are the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the one who established your chosen people and through whom you gave your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You established the promised land of Israel and demonstrated time and time again that if your people sought you, worshiped you, and obeyed you, that you would bless them with guidance, provision, and protection. But that if they turned away, then you would remove your hand and allow judgment. Lord, we acknowledge that just as Israel was dedicated to you at its founding, that another country, years later, would also seek your blessing and dedicate themselves and their land to you. The first president of these United States of America, on the day of his inauguration, sought your hand, your guidance, and your blessing on our new country, and the people prayed and celebrated in agreement. In the following years, you did more for us than we deserved. You blessed us with military strength, economic strength, with inventions, medical discoveries, academic achievement, and national prosperity. You lifted us up to lead the world as we proclaimed that our blessings came from you and that in God we trust. Our Constitution acknowledges you as our Creator, and our Founding Fathers noted that our people should never be led without your word. But as you blessed us, we eventually became prideful in our success, believing that it was also by our own hands that our nation was elevated, and that you owed us blessings and protection. In time, a generation rose that became callous toward you, O God, and we chose our own prideful logic above your truth, abandoning you in our schools and ignoring you in our courts. Yet you showed patience and mercy and called out, "Return to me, America, return to me." But instead, we embraced our sin, claiming we were Lord over ourselves. We abandoned you by giving credit to the creation of our world to astronomical chance and began throwing out your moral boundaries for our selfish pleasure. We oversaturated our hearts and our minds on immoral entertainment until our conscience was seared and began shedding the innocent blood of our unborn children who were an inconvenience to our lives. And yet you kept calling, "Repent, America, repent and return to me." But we responded that we've done no wrong, and we justified our sin as our right and liberty. We chased money, physical pleasure, and the belief that we are entitled to what we do not deserve. And now we stand on the precipice of redefining what you already have called sacred for a definition of our own. Lord, what you call wicked, we now call good. And we've now begun persecuting those that proclaim your truth. You've sent warnings, allowing breaches in our security and instability in our economy. You've allowed drought to begin touching our land and civil unrest in our cities. Lord, even the people who claim to still acknowledge you have become apathetic and complacent in our comfort. Our worship has been lukewarm and our prayers passionless. We shake our heads in shame as our nation weakens around us, instead of repenting of our own apathy and inaction. Where are the people of God? Where are those who still cry out to you with broken and contrite hearts? Lord, we deserve judgment. We deserve your wrath, for we have sinned and sinned greatly. And we know that your judgment starts in the house of God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and our hypocrisy as a cancer in our land. But we cry out to you, Lord. We have nowhere else to look but you. There is no other answer. Man cannot redeem us. Remember your mercy. Remember your compassion. Break our hearts, O God. Help us to love what you love and to hate what you hate. Give us the courage to call sin what it is and to define our lives by your truth. Remind us of your love for us and call us to repentance. May every heart that knows you as Lord seek you this day. May we grieve over our sin this day, that you might show us mercy and forgiveness. Lord, for those who heed your words and repent with open hearts, restore us to you and unify those that love you. Raise up a generation that seeks you and worships you with their whole heart. Raise up a generation that is not ashamed of the gospel and that hates to be lukewarm. Grant them faith, love, and courage to live according to your word, and to pray with power and to act with conviction. Raise up leaders, Lord, who will not compromise when under pressure or abandon you for the approval of men. Raise them up, Lord, that they may call upon your name and confess Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Break up the hard soil in our hearts, Lord, that you may take joy in our worship of you and bless us again. Call us to holiness, that we would once again be the light of the world and draw men to you. Awaken us, Lord. Rekindle our fire. Stir our hearts. We confess our sins and we seek your face. Forgive us, Lord God, that we can again proclaim, "Great is thy faithfulness." We ask for your forgiveness and cleansing. We pray against those who reject your truth. Turn their hearts to you or confound their logic. But don't let wickedness take our land. Don't let them succeed. Stand in their way, Lord, for America is yours. And like Israel, may she remain undivided and in your care. Keep our bond strong with Israel, Lord, and our leaders loyal, or remove them from office. May your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Alex Kendrick. I don't know about you, but that just gripped my heart when I first read that. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I just thought, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy in the country that I was growing up in. Have mercy. I never dreamed some of the things would be happening today. Lord, have mercy. There's a song I'd like to play that just really stood out. It's by Chris Tomlin, and we're going to hear it. You may sing along if you'd like.
Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
In June, we heard how we need to claim our identity in Jesus and how we need to receive our Father's love for us. And then we were challenged to get off the stage and stop acting and be real. And last week, Luke began the book of Nehemiah by focusing on how we need to protect our identity. We not only need to claim our identity, but now we need to protect our identity because the enemy wants to steal it from us. We need to protect our identity, and he talked about the Word of God last week. And today we need to protect our identity as we cry out to God in the midst of our problems. I'd like to read from Nehemiah 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Nehemiah 1, the whole chapter, is the word of the Lord. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. Verse 3, they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word pierces us. It's a double-edged sword, and I just pray that whatever happened to each one of us this week, we would lay that aside, that we would have a heart and openness to receive your word today. Oh, Lord, just use me as your vessel, your servant, for your glory today. Allow your Holy Spirit to make the word active and practical in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we have in our text that I just read, we have five reasons Nehemiah cried out to God. And you can fill in your bulletin the words that are underlined. Concern about the problem. Concern about the problem. I have problems. You have problems. We all have problems. Okay, might as well get that out. We all have problems. How do we fix our problems? Do we include God in the fixing of our problems? Or do we say, no, I'm pretty smart. I know how to fix my problems. And then we wonder why our problems don't go away. That's because we didn't include God. God wants to take care of our problems. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and God says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He says, for I'm gentle. He's a gentle God. He wants us to release our problems to him. Cry out to him and say, look, I'm not even going to begin to fix this on my own strength. It's yours. Help me, Lord. That's a good word for each one of us this week. Just say, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. And then I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Holy Spirit. Include God in the picture. God has to go from our mind to our heart. So he's really part of us, our very being, how we live life. You know, we're here today to prepare us for the week. And God wants to be included in our life 24/7. 24/7. That'd be a good time for an amen if you do that. And so Nehemiah was concerned about the problem. He said, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept, and for some days I mourned and fasted." Nehemiah was concerned for his city. He was concerned for his city. We all live in cities, or we have a city close to us. When was the last time you cried out for your neighbors? For your city? You know, Jesus had a very simple word with the disciples. He said, "Go." He didn't say stay. He did say stay at times when, you know, like in Acts, he said stay and wait. But typically when he wants us to take the message, he says go, take it with you. Go out. Make disciples. And so in our neighborhood, a lot of people in this generation, you don't even know your neighbors. You know, one person I heard tell me, they said, "Well, we haven't even become acquainted with our neighbors, and we've lived here a number of years." And I'm thinking, wow, you know, God wants us to demonstrate love and compassion and that gentle spirit within our neighborhood. The love of God is contagious. Nehemiah asked the people how they were doing. He listened as the people told him the condition of the city and present needs that need attention. And the people in Nehemiah's hometown were miserable. They were depressed. They were being harassed by their enemies. And they were living in constant fear of attack. Their lives, like the walls that surrounded them, were in ruins. It's not only what could be done, but what must be done. There's certain things that must be done. You know, in your life, there's certain things like in your day that must be done if you're a person that has a checklist. And then there's some that, well, if it works out, I'll get that done, but that could be put off for another day. But there's certain things that must be done. Every time you get up, I've probably said this before, but that's just the way it is. Every time you get up, boy, that would bother you if it do that for a couple minutes, plus my knuckles get sore. But anyway, God is knocking, and he's saying, "Give me some attention today. Don't forget God in your life." That's a must. That's a must. Don't forget God in your life. You know, we're people of habit, so I don't know how your devotional time is or what you do with the Lord during the week, but I guarantee you, if you do something about the same time for 20 to 30 days, then you've got it. Then you'll know, boy, I got to do that, you know. And there's certain that we're people of routine and habit, and God wants to be included in that. Not as a performance way, not as, okay, I got that done, Lord, check, I'm checking you off today. No, God wants us to include him in all of our day's activities, but at least have a time when we know, hey, this is our time with God. You can do it while you're running. You can do it while you're, you know, sitting. There's a variety of ways that you can include God in the whole picture, but include God in the picture. We wonder why our life has fallen apart and God's there like this saying, "I'm here, I'm here." The anguish and misery of Nehemiah's people pierced his heart. And so Nehemiah realized there are many things you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. Absolutely nothing you can do until you pray to be of any significance. That's where it begins. And there's a number of scriptures that we're going to look at, but I'm going to skip over some, but at least you can copy them down and look them up later this week. I'd like to look at Luke 19:41, Gospel of Luke, chapter 19:41. Here's what the Bible says. Luke 19, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, that is Jesus, and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." So Jesus approached Jerusalem, saw the city, and he wept over Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. When you cry out to God, you get God's attention. Sometime do a study in the Bible and find out every single time where someone cried out to God and discover what happened. Just when you cry out to God, you get his attention. When you cry out to God and you fast and pray, you really get his attention. Because you're in there, I mean, you are committed. Forget about the food. Forget about, you know, your electronic social devices and everything. Just focus on Jesus. That's why Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If you want your faith to increase, he says, Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. He wants our faith to increase. But it doesn't just happen. It takes work. Cry out to God. In Psalm 126, the Bible puts it like this. Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6. Here's what the Bible says. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Nehemiah was ready to allow God to do some rebuilding. But first, he needed to be concerned about the problem. Are you ready to do some rebuilding? Problems. Problems are opportunities for God to show himself strong. God wants to remind us over and over that he's the strength of our life. He's stronger than we can ever imagine. You know, I know you know this, but sometimes we have to be reminded. He just spoke and things happened. He didn't have to do anything. He just spoke and things happened. I just, think about that different times. Here we are trying to discover other galaxies and everything. The latest is going to Uranus or someplace way out and discovering planets and everything and realizing that there's other galaxies and everything hundreds and hundreds of light years away, and light travels 186,000 miles in 1 second. How far would it go in a year and then hundreds of years? And so God is so far beyond us. But he just wants us to access him. Just like you, you're thinking, oh, I got to check Facebook. I got to access Facebook. Well, God is right there, you know. He's got great truth for us every day. But we've got to include him in the picture. We can't ignore God. He wants to show himself strong. How many of you enjoy having flies inside the house? Anybody? Looking for anybody? No. Nope. I don't either. I'm with you. This past week, I was sitting and a fly was swarming around. And, you know, there's different ways of getting rid of flies. And I won't go into my wife's way, but I'll go into my way. The house, when I swat it, it's dead. Don't have to worry about it. So, a few weeks ago, I noticed a fly in our house, so I stalked it with a fly swatter until I killed it. And then I observed another fly. Did the same thing. This went on about 5 to 6 times, till I was done. I was frustrated. I finally found out where they were coming in at. It was at the window where the air conditioner was. You know, there's a little gap there, and they get in there and go up and down, and they were in. So I closed off their entrance door, closed off the door. The same thing happens with the enemy. We must close the entrance door and seal it with the blood of Jesus by repenting and confessing our sins and guarding our mind and heart so that we can experience real freedom in Jesus. It's just amazing. I didn't ask for that fly, but God gave me an object lesson, and there it is. And whatever that means to you, we've got to really understand how we need to guard our heart and mind. The second thing we want to look at is, from our text, we discover, number two, conviction about God's character. Nehemiah said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him. Nehemiah recognized the Lord as his master. The Lord was his Adonai, master. Master. God deserves to be honored and respected and feared by all because of who he is. He's truthful and faithful. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible puts it like this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say that with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Remember Hebrews 11:6. One more time. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you want to please God this week? Include him in the picture. Believe that he can do what he wants to do in your life. He delights in the impossible. With God, the Bible says with God, all things are possible. So there's nothing in your life that isn't possible with God. All things are possible. Only believe. Faith. We're all on a faith journey. So Nehemiah's praise helps him clear his mind of any distracting fears. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Something happens. When we begin praising God, when you go through a rough time, begin praising God, put some worship music on, just enjoy God, and something happens to that heaviness. It goes. Because we're in worship. We were all created by God to be creatures of worship. Everyone worships something. You know, when I was young, I used to have a Nova Super Sport. And that was a regular Super Sport is 350, if you know anything about cars. Mine was a 396. So I waved goodbye to Corvettes. But anyway, then I put away childish things. My wife said that has to go, so it went. Anyway, I had fun. But that wasn't... you know, we all worship something. We all have something to worship. God wants to be front and center of our worship. Keep the main thing in your life. Nehemiah's praise helps him clear his mind of any distracting fears. Psalm 91, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, and God in whom I trust. Something happens when we rest in Jesus. Our stress just falls to his feet. We just give it all to him. It's all about the cross. The Lord's Son, Jesus, said, I'm willing to go the whole way for each one of us. He went the whole way. And he just looked at us and he said, they're worth it. He gave us a thumbs up and said, I don't care what you've done in the past. I love you so much. I'm going the whole way. And so sometimes we have to face the cross in the morning and say, Lord, because of what you've done in my life, whatever I'm really fretting about or anxious about or worried about, it's nothing because you went to the cross for all the junk in my life. All that I'm concerned about and stressed out about, you went to the cross. It's as simple as that. So we might as well meet him at the cross and let him know how much we love him because he first loved us with all of our garbage and everything else. And he still loves us. He's worth it all. The third thing we want to look at is confession of sin. From our text, we discover confession of sin. Nehemiah said, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We acted very wickedly." Also in Psalm 88, verse 1, the Bible puts it like this. Psalm chapter 88, verse 1. "O Lord, the God who saves me, night and day I cry out before you." Confession of sin. Nehemiah made no attempt to excuse the Israelites or himself from sin. We live in a world that likes to pass the buck and say, "Well, you caused me to do this. It's all your fault." We like to blame people. But you know, God knows exactly what's going on in our life. Might as well just sit at the feet of Jesus and confess our sin and say, "Look, I need help. Thank you for forgiving me. Help me to live life to the fullest today. I need you." Just like the song said, I need, we all need the Lord. Nehemiah made no attempt at all to excuse the Israelites or himself from sin. So instead of looking back and blaming his ancestors, he looked within and blamed himself. Our sin is actually an act of rebellion against the Holy God. Just remember, we can't hide our sins from God. We can't. Impossible. In Numbers 32, 23, Numbers 32, 23, the Bible says, "But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out." Quick story. I know my son Kevin has heard this, and I can't remember if I've shared it here, but I was young, probably a teenager, some of you guys' age, and I had two brothers, and we got into a little bit of disagreements. Some people would say it was a full-blown fight, but well, I disagreed different times. And I was the oldest, so I could take them on, but both of them together could take me on, and so we had this upstairs in our bedroom, had this fight going on, and they used me as a battering ram and punched my head through the wall, literally punched through the wall. So we had a hole in the wall. My one brother said, "I got an idea." I said, "It's all your fault. I'm out of this." And he said, "We're going to hang a picture over the hole." So we did. I can't remember if I shared this story, but that's life. So they hung a picture over the hole, and I didn't take any ownership in that at all because I was the battering ram. So the picture was there. One day, my mother was up in the room, and the picture fell. Ooh. What's this? And we were all pointing fingers, you know. Make a long story short, all three of us, from our hard money, we used to caddy at for golfers at a country club. The money went to panel the hole upstairs. All of that money. Panel the hole upstairs. And so we have lots of feelings about that, but anyway, we had no say in it at all. So, involuntary. Your money will go for this. Yes, sir. Whatever. So it happened. But be sure your sin will find you out. That's my story. We all have stories. In Psalm 66, 18, the Bible puts it like this. Psalm 66, verse 18. Here's what the Bible says. "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Just the whole idea of holding on. John 15, Jesus said this in John chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. One verse there, verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. John 15, verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing. That's the words of Jesus. And then 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. So we can't just say, look what I did. Here we have it, right here, 2 Corinthians 3:5. And then in Ezra 9:5 through 7, book before Nehemiah, Ezra 9:5 through 7. Then at the evening sacrifice I rose from my self-abasement with my tunic and cloak torn and fell on my knees with my hands spread out to the Lord my God and prayed, oh my God, I am too ashamed and disgraced to lift up my face to you, my God, because our sins are higher than our heads and our guilt has reached the heavens. From the days of our forefathers until now, our guilt has been great because of our sins. We and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings as it is today. I want you to remember something. Whatever you're going through this week, whatever is happening in your life, our loving God pursues us. And he doesn't pursue us with a heart of condemnation. He pursues us with a heart of love. He wants to capture our heart so that we can be overwhelmed with his love in a fresh new way and understand his ways are not our ways. Because our own heart, we want to get back at people, but God pursues us out of a heart of love, and he chases after us till he finally grips our heart with his presence, and we give in to God, and we have that spirit of brokenness and surrender, and God just takes over. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's very real in my life. Number four. For our text, we have the fourth reason Nehemiah cried out to God, confidence in God's promises. He said in verses 8 through 10, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you return to me and obey my commands, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen. Nehemiah expresses confidence in God's promises. He knew that God had promised to return the Israelites back home to Jerusalem. In 1 John 5, the Bible puts it like this. 1 John chapter 5. Here we go. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And then also in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 20 or 45, in Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. I don't think I have it right up there. 5 through 7 should be. I am the Lord, and there is no other. If you underline things, there's some things here to underline. It's amazing. I am the Lord, there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. It's repeated. God wants us to get it. It's repeated. And there is no other. And then in verse 14, at the end of 14, it says, surely God is with you, and there is no other. There is no other God. It's repeated over and over. Just so we get that. Grab onto it. Commitment to be involved is the next one. The fifth reason Nehemiah cried out to God is commitment to be involved. He was in. He looked at everything going on and he was in. He said, I'm in. I'm in to build the wall. I'm in. In whatever you want me to do, I'm in. How many of you realize when we surrender and say, Lord, just use me as a servant, God takes over. God takes over in our life. We're in. We have no idea what God is going to do in our life, but we know we're in. It's easy to be not involved. It's easy to be a spectator. But I don't know how to say it any clearer than this. In the kingdom work with Jesus, we are not spectators. We're not spectators. We are in. God doesn't want us to stand like this and say, I shall not be moved. No. No. God will take care of that. As he pursues us, we will be moved. But we are in. And when we're in God's work, I don't know what plans God has for you, but I guarantee it that the secret of a victorious, lasting Christian life is a heart of surrender and brokenness. If we have that heart of surrender and brokenness, God's there saying, okay, I've got you now. See what I can do in your life. I used to be guidance counselor in high school, and the future employers would tell me, we don't care how much training the people have. All we need is for people to be people of integrity, honest, and give a good day's work, and willing to be trained according to our way. That's all we need. God wants us to be willing, to be trained, to be disciple makers, to be kingdom shakers. You know, go out and change the world with God in front. Let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. And then Jeremiah 33, 3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. I've said this before, but this is God's phone number. So if you want God's phone number, it's right here. God's phone number. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God's phone number. We got to call him. We can't ignore that phone call. It's very important. So have you told God I'm available? That's the first thing. I'm available. We must be willing to put feet to our prayers. There's a time, I've said this before, being in God's presence is more important than doing his work, in that order. Because when we're in God's presence, we will know what he wants us to do. If we go out and try to do his work and then wonder why things aren't working out, probably we weren't in his presence. A lot of people, you know, we live in a society that is performance-oriented. Work, 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 work. You study the life of Jesus. How often did he sit and just take everything in and resting? Yeah, he had busy days, but he had days where he was just hanging with the Father and enjoying the Father and taking his direction from the Father. He said, I only do what the Father wants me to do. That was his life. So if we want to do what Jesus wants us to do, we've got to hang out with him. And then we'll know. So I'm not putting down work. We need work. We need to go out and work, but I'm saying being in God's presence is really significant if you want to hear from God and know what he wants to do in your life. After all, Nehemiah prayed for 4 months and the wall was built in 2 months. Did you know that? He prayed for 4 months, the wall was built in 2. Something about that, you know, lingers. I mean, there's a reason that God gave us 2 ears and only 1 mouth. You know? I know we have lots of words to use up every day, but God wants us to be quiet sometimes and listen, listen, listen. Just a few questions to finish. We, you know, those are the whole areas we talked about. What do you need to cry out to God about? Just some questions. Just some questions. What is it that you really need to cry out to God? We all have things going on in our life. What are you crying out to God about? That gets God's attention. Is there something you should be fasting and praying about, including fasting? I'm just asking questions. What about your flies? I explained my flies that bothered me to no end until I finally closed the door. What are your flies? What problem are you concerned about? Is there a sin you need to confess? It's communion time. Is there a sin you need to confess? Which of God's promises applies to your problem that you're going to pray back to God? You know, prayer includes praying back the promises of God. Lord, your word says this. And just quote it, pray it back to God. How is God asking you to be involved in kingdom work this week? That's that heart of surrender and listening to God and just simply obeying Him. I don't know what God wants you to do, but God does. The Holy Spirit does. So that's the significance of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. God wants us to do His work this week, but we've got to listen. Are you available to be used by God as His servant? You know, nothing like a servant's heart. You know, Paul, over and over, he had that servant's heart. And he just was experienced all kinds of persecution and beatings and everything. We have no idea what the Christian church is facing in other parts of the world where there's heavy-duty persecution, other than, you know, they're just growing and growing. The church in China, with all the persecution, they're growing like crazy. They're just expanding like crazy. And they're suffering, they're being put in prison and everything. If God has spoken to you this morning about any of these areas here, and you need to just clear it up and have that heart of surrender and brokenness and let God be God in your life, I just welcome you to come forward. Those that want to participate in communion, welcome you to come forward. The worship team is going to come up, back up here. And when you're done with communion, the ministry time here, you can consider yourself dismissed, you know. So after you participate in communion, you are free to go. Linger around. Anybody involved, elders, want to help, be available for prayer. I welcome that. I'm just God's servant. Let God speak to you. And I just welcome all that God wants to do in your life. I'm just passionate about God gripping you and saying, come to me. Regardless of your problem, come to me and I will show you what happens when I take over in your life. Give God a chance this week. I guarantee you, it'd be worth eternity because God wants to do something. All of us have a destiny. Might as well begin now. Let God have His way. The altar is open. Thank you.